today in the house of the Lord. Let's take our red books, turn to 453. He keeps me singing as I go. 453, first, second, and last verses, as we stand and sing 453.
There's in my heart a melody. Jesus is the sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still.
Safety and traveling grace that he gave everybody. And we need to pray these tornadoes are becoming more and more rampant, and it's kind of a scary thing. So we need to pray not only for one another, pray for our communities, and just a lot of life loss. Let's pray for families and during this time. All right, let's continue to pray for the needs in our church. Let's pray for our brother Junior, that the Lord will continue to give him health and strength. Let's pray for Miss Jackie, who's still trying to have recovery, where she has broken her ankle and wearing a cast. And I talked to her this week, and she's just still having a rough time. Let's pray for her. Sister Parsons having kind of a rough time and some things right now, so let's pray for Sister Parsons. And just pray one for another. If you have an unspoken request, let it be known by a raised hand as we go to the Lord in prayer today. Okay? All right. Brother Bill, you pray for us, please.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day that we can be in God's house. The Lord, thank you for your people. The Lord, I'm thankful for everyone that's come out here today. The Lord, pray that you'll bless each and every one. The Lord, bless those that would love to be here. The Lord, we thank you, Sister Parsons, that would so much want to be here today. The Lord, and there's so many that has the opportunity that just one, as was mentioned before church. The Lord, we pray that we can reach some of those. The Lord, we thank you, Shana and Danny. The Lord, I pray that they'll be able to get in. The Lord, that we can reach them. The Lord, I pray that you'll bless as we continue this service. The Lord, bless the pastors and preachers today. Bless every song that's sung. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. Christ. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Pray for the choir at this time.
13, old folder.
Choir number 13, the old folder number 13. I want to be ready to meet you.
Thank you. My Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
name. If you think about that great truth that His name is wonderful, that could give you Holy Ghost goose pimples, because He is too wonderful for words. Words cannot express. Vocabulary is too human. And there's no way we can really express to the... I'm glad the Lord talks about the fact in Romans chapter 8 that we can come before Him with groanings which cannot be uttered, because there's sometimes you can't say a thing, but you just come before Him and you just moan and groan and worship and pray and cry, and He understands everything about that. There's an old song, I know Miss Teresa's probably sung it, tears are a language God understands. And so I'm glad He does. I'm glad He is not limited to my puny vocabulary. So His name is wonderful. Amen to that. Thank you, choir. Let's turn to hymn number 257 for our fellowship song, "'Tis So Sweet." And it is. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. You trust in the government, you're going down. I'll tell you that right now. You better trust in Jesus. Amen. All right, let's stand. First, second, fellowship. Come back on the last.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee.
singing today. All right, I want to take care of a couple of things this morning before Miss Teresa sings. We want to say how much we appreciate everybody that took part in April in our soul-winning campaign. We thank the Lord for the visitors. And they came because you worked and you invited. And we appreciate that so much. Never take for granted the importance of an invitation. Even the Bible gives the invitation. One of the last things the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation is the bride and the Spirit say, come. And that's an invitation. And so we should never take for granted invitations. So I appreciate you working, and we appreciate the seed of the word getting in, we trust, to hearts and lives. All right, we've got some things, first and second and third place winners in our contest, so we want to take care of that. Everybody, all three people, are getting the same thing as far as two different things. We've got a beautiful pocket calendar. It is 2011. You still got over half a year to go with it. But it's also got a nice little notepad here. And it's got several interesting things. You can have some record keeping, things for anniversaries and birthdays. It's very nice. So everybody's going to get that. All three people are going to get that. And then we have a Southern Gospel Quartet CD from the Triumphant Quartet. And everybody, all three people can get that. And then we've got some variations on the other things, too. All right, third place winner. We appreciate the hard work. 300 points. And let's see, Brother Will, you come up and help me, please. I'll let you do the deliveries for me, okay? Okay, 300 points. And third place winner was Miss Barra. So we appreciate that. So we're going to give her a CD, and we're going to give her a calendar. And then we're going to give her a commentary on the Gospel of John by Dr. John R. Rice. And if you already have that book, you can let me know, and we'll get you something else. Okay, so you'll take that to her. All right, let's give her a hand for her hard work. All right, so she got 300 points. Then second place was 500 points. And the winner is going to get a Triumphant Quartet CD calendar. And then this is both a book of devotions and a bookmark. It's called God's Promises to a Woman's Heart. So that tells you the winner's a woman, okay? All right, and she's not here today, but we'll have to give it to Mama. This is Vicky. Vicky won second place, so you give that to Miss Nancy, and so let's clap and appreciate the hard work that Vicki did in bringing the visitors, so we'll give that to her. And then we have our first place winner, and our first place winner gets the CD and gets the calendar and gets the picture, and that is, here she comes now. All right. Okay, Vicki, we're talking about you. You were second place in the contest, and those are your gifts that you get for second place. So,
no.
No, we finished last week. But she did count last week. She counted last week, yeah. Because you brought in enough. You had 500 points because all your visitors you had. So that was good. So we've got second place there. First place, the picture, the tape, and the calendar goes to Brother Julius for 550 points. So let's give Brother Julius a hand. All right. So we appreciate everybody's hard work and everything that you did. So thank you for that. God bless you. All right. Miss Teresa's going to sing for us, so you be sure and pray for her.
I'll never forget that day when I heard the dear Savior say, I'll take all your fears away, your troubles and doubts. My feet were on sinking sand, and I knew that I could not stand. Then I felt his precious hand, and he lifted me out. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He planted my feet on the heavenly way. I'll tell it where'er I go, for I want the whole world to know. I'm glad that he loved me so, that he lifted me out. I traveled down sin's broad road, far away from that blessed abode, and beneath my heavy load. But now I can shout for Jesus the Savior true. When I called on his precious name, he took all my sin and shame, and he lifted me out. If you are away from God, in the pathway of sin you trod, let him be your staff and rod, and turn you around. From sin he will set you free, and the pathway of life you'll see. Then just as he did for me, he'll lift you right out. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He planted my feet on the heavenly way. I'll tell it where'er I go, for I want the whole world to know. I'm glad that he loved me so, that he lifted me out.
All right, thank the Lord he lifted us out. He put us on a solid rock, Christ Jesus the Lord. All right, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, please. Matthew 14, as we get wired up here. Wednesday night, Brother Julius, I've asked him to give us an update on the radio internet ministry. So he's going to be sharing with us some statistics and things that he's been pulling off the computer. Very exciting, some of the things he showed me. So he's going to be doing that Wednesday night. Also Wednesday night, let me think, make sure I got my timing right. This Wednesday we will have Brother Dan Mapes with us, our missionary to Africa. And so he will be with us also on Wednesday night. So keep that in mind, please. Also, going to read an invitation. Sarah Bethany Moore announces her graduation from Piedmont Baptist College and Graduate School and from High Point University on May the 6th, 2011 at 7 o'clock p.m. That will be this Friday night, 7 o'clock. Graduation party will immediately follow at the George M. Manuel Library at Piedmont Baptist College. So remember Bethany in prayer, please. And there's some I think that have talked about maybe going. If you need directions or whatever, let us No, and we will try to get that for you. All right, Matthew chapter 14. I want to share with you something today that the Lord has used in my life recently, has helped me tremendously, and I want to share it with you, and I hope and pray that what I'm going to share with you will help you also. In verse 22, this is a very familiar passage. You know this very well. And it's the story of Jesus walking on the water. Okay? So I'm going to read, begin verse 22. We'll read, we'll pray, and then I'll share some things that I hope will help you today also. Verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the water, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts for a few moments today and give us strength and courage, and encourage us and help us as we look to the Word of God for our help and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone has said, and rightly so, that we are either in a storm, we are going into a storm, or we're coming out of a storm. Now, a storm is not a fun thing. Wednesday night, I have no doubt in the world, Brother Julius, Miss Pam, and the baby were not enjoying that storm they were in. Nothing exciting about the fact that you have a torrential storm pouring down on you, and there's hailstorm, and then there's the fact that there was a picture that was shown to me of a funnel that was seen in Axton Wednesday night. And it was a big funnel. It's amazing it did not touch down and hurt anybody, but it was a large funnel, and the very place that Brother Julius stopped was where the picture was taken from. All right, those of you that know the direction up there, the Mount Calvary Holiness Church, someone stood right in the doorway and took the picture straight across the highway of the huge funnel. So there was the funnel. There was evidence of that terrible, terrible tornado. We hear of the storms that have taken place in other places. Alabama, in terrible condition, almost 300 people, if I'm not mistaken, 290, I think, at last count, perished, their lives given because of the storm that took place. A storm is a disastrous thing and a difficult thing. But as we look into the fact that there are storms that either we are in, or we are coming out of, or we are getting ready to go into. In the life of the Lord Jesus, as he's with the disciples, in verse number 22, it says this, And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now you've probably read that verse many times because I've said that it is a very common passage. But I want you to see what it says. Let's pick apart some words. Word number one is the word straightway. And straightway, and immediately, and right now, Jesus constrained his disciples. Second word is he constrained them, he urged them, he pressed them, he commanded them to get into a ship. He told them the perfect will of God for their lives was to get into that ship. And then he told them to go before him unto the other side. Now the first thing I want you to see this is that in the middle of the storm there was a directive. Now I want you to get this. There are times in my life and your life where we go through storms. And we begin to ask ourselves questions like, why am I having to go through this storm? Why me? Isn't that, remember that song, what was it, Chris Christopherson wrote back in the 60s or 70s, and it's Why Me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the mercies you've shown? All right, there is a principle that we begin to ask questions and we say, Lord, why am I going through what I'm going through? Now, I don't know about you. I got a feeling you're like I am, that you don't enjoy storms. I do not enjoy storms.
I certainly do not like to be in a physical, literal storm like what we were talking about with these tornadoes and everything. It's a scary thing when you turn on the television and they say there's a severe thunderstorm warning or there's a tornado warning or whatever. And you wonder, is it going to hit me? Is it going to hit my area? Is it going to rip my house apart? Okay? And so those types of things happen. All right? Now, Jesus told the disciples to get into a boat and to go on the other side. Now, this is what you got to understand. This is what makes it tough. It was the will of God for those men to get into a ship, to go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. He said that. But in getting there, there was a storm they had to go through. And it was the perfect will of God for those men to go through that storm. Now, when I go through a storm, sometimes I want to think to myself, you know, what have I done to deserve this? Have I sinned? That's our automatic reaction. I must have sinned. God must be whipping me. God must be taking me to the woodshed. That's our automatic response, that for every action, there must be some kind of sin that's taken place, and I am reaping my sin. But if that's true, then Job must have been a wicked man. But Job was not a wicked man. Job was a righteous man that walked with God, that feared God and escheweth evil. First chapter tells you that. But look at all the storms, all the series of storms that happened in the life of that man of God. It was the direct will of God. God says, I want you to get in the boat. I want you to go across. Now they say that the Sea of Galilee is 7 miles across. And it says right in the middle, 3.5 miles in from each side, they stop and there is a torrential storm that takes place. In your life and my life, there are storms. And there are times where I begin to question, I begin to wonder, I don't understand it, I don't want it. And I mean, we're talking about in your life, you have had some tremendous storms. And sometimes maybe those storms create a doubt. Maybe it creates a tremendous load or burden or heaviness. Sometimes it seems that we can't go very far and we look up and we say, God, what's all this about? It may be news that has come from a doctor's office. It may be a telephone call in the middle of the night. It could be a pink slip from work. It could be the fact that there's some kind of financial catastrophe that hits. It could be that something happens to your home and you don't have money and no way to take care of some major thing that happens in your home. It could be the fact that you yourself or relatives around you have a health issue that comes from nowhere. The storms are great. And there comes a time where I say, Lord, is this right? Is this what you want for me? Have I sinned? If I've sinned, will you show me? If I've sinned, will you help me to make it right? But then after you confess everything that you can think of confessing and a few things, as Dr. Harold Seitler says, you're not sure about, the storm will keep coming anyway. Because again, look at the verse. Verse 1, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And what Jesus was saying was, I'm going to get you to point B from point A, but you got to go through a storm to get there. If we had time for testimonies, every person sitting in here, if you allowed yourself to, could stand probably with a broken heart and tears and talk about tragedies and storms that you've experienced. And our inevitable conclusion to that is, Lord, why? Why? Why do I have to go through this storm? Why me, Lord? Can it be somebody else? I mean, we don't necessarily say that because it's like the fiasco with these tornadoes and all the people that have been killed. You don't want that to go, you don't want anybody to go through that. You don't want people like they did up in Pulaski County to be have their homes literally ripped from their foundations. You don't want that. But by the same token, I don't know if it's a greedy thing, but we do say, I'm thankful it's not me. And we should be thankful. We should be. We should be thankful that when that tornado was seen over, that funnel cloud was seen over in Axton, boy, praise the Lord that the Bryants were taken care of and God helped them and blessed them. And it's a miracle that nobody got injured from that thing. It was a massive funnel from the picture I saw. That's the good grace of God. But what do you say to somebody when their house is ripped off the foundation? What do you say when somebody says that that part of my living room furniture was two blocks down the road? And what does it mean anything when I say, yes, this is God's will for my life? But doesn't that sound a little shallow when you say it? Doesn't it sound a little hard to swallow when you say, okay, God, all I... But that's the only place you can be. You have to come to the place where you're seeing that God is saying it is the will of God for us to go through a time of difficulty, a storm. It is the will of God. God directed them to get into a boat. He said, I will take you to the other side. But he didn't tell them that there was going to be a storm. And there was a storm. Now, I want you to see a second thing. Not only was there a directive in the storm, but there was a discernment in the storm. This is what I like about this story. Now, they go out on the boat. Did Jesus know the storm was there? Yes. Did Jesus send them in His will to the other side? Yes. Bible says in verse number 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And can I ask you a question? Does it seem sometimes when the storm comes that you wonder where he is? Let's read on. And when the evening was come, doesn't it seem like when the storm comes, it seems like it's the darkest part of the day to you, to your life? When the storm comes, you don't necessarily wake up in the morning saying, well, hallelujah, I got a storm to face today. I don't react that way. But it's sometimes you wake up, have you ever awakened in the morning and before your feet ever touch the floor, in the back of your mind, the storm comes straight back to your memory? And it's like a cloud over you, and for the rest of the day, and maybe the rest of the next day, and the rest of the next day, your mind is obsessed with that storm. And you pray. And you say, God, would you lift this burden? Would you lift this load? And it's like, you remember the old cartoons where the cartoon characters would be in the midst of a storyline and they'd get quiet, maybe they'd holler trying to get somebody's attention, and all you'd hear in the words were crickets. You know what I'm talking about? The silence was shown by the sound of the crickets in the forest. You ever prayed and you felt like, oh God, I need this to happen, and you know what? Crickets. Crickets. Lord, where are you? I need you. Crickets. It's a tough storm. touched them. Now, evening, the dark time, he was alone. He was praying. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Remember what I said? 3.5 miles in each direction, right straight in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And they can't, it's just as close to go one way as the other. But here's the point. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. This little boat is being taken and turned and tossed and thrown around. I never watched the whole thing. There was a movie. Some of you may have watched it. It was called The Perfect Storm. And I saw there's a movie. This is, a fishing boat. And the thing that the high point of this thing is they go into a squall. And they literally ride, the little boat rides up a wave. Sort of like a tsunami wave. And it takes, and when it raises up, it pushes the boat over. And the boat turns and capsizes. And the people are stuck underneath the boat, and it's inevitable doom. Sometimes those waves have the ability to take your boat and turn it over. It's right about then we start claiming Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But it doesn't feel like it, even though we claim it. It doesn't feel like it because that ocean, the waves, the storm has the ability to capsize our boat. And there's no place in the Bible that says our boat will not be capsized. I got an email, I think it was Friday, from a pastor friend of mine for whom I have preached many times. And he said to me, he said, Brother Moore, I haven't talked to you in a long time. He said, but I need to let you know what's going on in my life. And they've been renting a storefront building for years, and they found some property for the church, and they signed the papers so they could go ahead with the process of building a building. And he said, once the papers were signed, he said, a third of the church left me. He said, if that wasn't hard enough, he said, my wife went to the doctor and said she has cancer and she's not walking away from it. But you know what that man did in that letter? He said to me, he said, but I serve a great God. But you know what? That man's going through a storm. Sometimes we have storms and we think our storms are very powerful, but you know, sometimes our storms are not really storms. They're insignificant compared to something like that. Whatever the storm is, it's still our storm. It's a storm we're going through. And so it's like, what are we going to do? And it's a dark time, and that happened in the dark. But then in verse 25 it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, that is from the time period of 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning, and that's your dusk time. And remember the old saying, what does it say? It is always what? Darkest before the dawn. Why didn't he come at the second watch? Do you ever think about that? Why doesn't Jesus come at the second watch? Why doesn't he come at the first watch? Why doesn't he come at the third watch? Why does he come at the fourth watch? Why does he always seem to come at the last minute? I mean, Lord, if you just not let me have to go through all this, it'd be all right. And it says in verse 25 that he came walking on the sea. Now understand that he is walking on top of the storm itself. And then if that's not enough, look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea. And verse 28 says that he came to walk on the water. And verse 29 says, and he walked on the water. Okay? Time and time, there's at least four instances where there's reference to taking the very thing that brought about disruption and destruction to their lives. And Jesus walked on top of the very circumstance that could have destroyed the lives of those disciples. But here's the thing that I want you to see, because I showed you a directive, I want to show you a discernment, because the Bible says that when they looked, it says that in verse number, let's see, which verse is it? Verse 26, it says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried for fear. When they looked, they saw a spirit. Do you know? And you may have read over that like I have and never noticed this. But why did they say he was a spirit? Because they couldn't make him out because of the storm. Have you ever been in a car situation? You were the other night where the rain came down so hard you couldn't see. You couldn't see 6 feet in front of you. And you found a place to pull off because you were afraid you were going to hit somebody. Somebody's going to hit you. You couldn't see. Only thing you could see, hopefully, were maybe lights if the car in front of you had thought to put lights on. Okay? All right, now, they looked and saw a figure. And that figure was Jesus. But listen to me, they did not know it was Jesus. Sometimes the Lord will come to us and we will not always know or recognize the Lord working in our lives. But the interesting thing is that not only did they look at him and see him and think he was a spirit, but that was not the whole relative point of the story. The point of the story was that he was up in the mountain praying, but he knew where they were, and he came to them, and he walked on the water, and he had his eye on them, and he watched them as they were in the middle of the storm. Understand this point. It is not important whether I see him in the storm. The important thing is that he sees me. What did Ethel Waters, who used to sing for the Billy Graham Crusade, remember that old song she used to sing? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. And it doesn't matter. It does not matter whether or not I see him. But oh God, please, never let your eye be taken off of me. You can get through any storm as long as he's got his eye on you. You and I think the storm is so great I can't see the Lord. They couldn't either. All they saw was what they saw was a figure. And they were afraid. But the whole time, he never took his eyes off that little ship. Even when he said, go get in a boat and go to the end of the Sea of Galilee, he did not tell them that there's going to be a storm, but he knew there was going to be a storm, and he said, go anyway. I was on that little boat. They cried out in fear. Do you feel fear in the middle of a storm? If you don't, you're a better person than I am, because I do feel fear. Because there are times I want to just kind of say, Lord, you know, can't deal with this. Don't know how to deal with it. Don't know what to do with it. Sometimes there's fear. But although there's fear, his eye is still on the sparrow. And now, this is interesting too, if you look at verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them. I don't know if you ever saw this one either. There's a storm. There's a squall. There is torrential rain pouring down. There are waves that are picking up this boat and tossing this boat. What did the disciples do? The disciples begin to cry out to the Lord. But how did Jesus respond? Verse 27 says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them." And did you ever think of the significance of that? That Jesus did not yell. Jesus did not scream. Jesus spoke in a still, small voice. And in the midst of the storms, they heard. Did you ever study the Bible and notice that when God speaks to people, He speaks in a still, small voice? You remember Samuel? And the Lord spoke to Samuel in the middle of the night. Samuel went three times to the old prophet Eli and said, "Yes, sir." And Eli finally on the third try figured it out. And he said, "No." He said, "You know what?" He said, "You go back, and when that voice comes to you the next time, you say to that voice, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" You remember Moses speaking with the burning bush? There was no yelling. There was no screaming that came from that burning bush. There was a voice that spoke from that burning bush. And in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the power of that storm, in the midst of the torrent of that storm, He speaks in a still, small voice. And you know what the Bible says? John chapter 10 says, "And my sheep hear my voice." Then there's a last thing about the storm. There's a directive in the storm. There's a discernment in the storm. But then the last thing, there's a delight in the storm. Jesus spoke and said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand, called him, said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. You remember that? Another time that they were in the storm, this time Jesus was not walking on the water, but the Bible says He was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And the disciples came to Him and said, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish?" And He got up, and He raised His hands, and He looked, and He said, "Peace, be still." And when it was said and done, the storm laid down. The clouds went away, the rain ceased to pour, the lightning stopped, the sound of thunder quit. And they said, "Who is this that even the winds and the seas obey?" There's your delight in the storm. That He walked on the very thing that created turmoil in the life of the disciples. I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you're in a storm right now. I don't know if you're going into one, or maybe you're coming out of one. And I don't know how powerful that storm is. That storm may be a financial storm. It may be an emotional storm. It may be a family storm. It may be a medical storm. It may be a health storm. It could be a multitude of storms. It could be a job-related storm. And it's the kind of storm that drives you to your knees. And you say, "Why do I have to go through the storm?" And I think I just told you why. Because sometimes I have to be driven to my knees. Because there's something about me called my pride. My pride doesn't always want to bow that knee. The Bible says to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. But sometimes something about me doesn't like to humble myself. I'm not going to say that's the reason for all storms. I don't know. There are probably 2 or 3 million reasons why there are storms. But if you're going through a storm and I'm going through the storm, there's something God's trying to show me in the storm, and I've got to say, oh God, speak, for thy servant heareth. What are you trying to teach me in the storm? Understand there's a directive in the storm, that it is the will of God many times that we go into a storm because God Almighty put us there. There is discernment in the storm. You may not see God in the middle of the storm, but praise God, He's still got His eye on you. And He hasn't forsaken you. Thirdly, there's a delight in the storm, because when you see the light break and you see the Lord and you realize, thank God you've been there and thank God you've helped me, and it may not be like the old fairy tale, it says, and they lived happily ever after. But if it's like Romans 8:28, I can live with that. Take courage, take strength. Because when the Lord's with you in that boat, the storm will cease eventually. Our hearts are broken. Our tears flow. I don't know why, but the only thing that I can take comfort in, believe it or not, is I have to say, God, the storm I'm going through right now, it is your will for my life. And sometimes, friend, that's the only thing that will get you through that. Do not always condemn yourself and say, I'm a sinner. And you may not be a sinner. You may be walking as straight as you can and living as right as you can, but God says you've got to go through this storm for a reason. So just batten down your hatches, because it's going to be a rocky ride. He is and has His eyes on the sparrow. I don't know if that helps you. That helped me. Because I've been through some storms recently that's been some whoppers. That passage helped me in the middle of that storm to take comfort in the fact that God has not forsaken His children and will go with us all the way. Let's bow our heads. Now, Father, I pray that You will help us, Lord, in the midst of the storm. If there are some folks here in this congregation of believers this morning that's weathering a storm, may You give them the strength to get through the storm. Help them to know that it is the will of God that we may be in this storm. Help us to know it is the will of God that You have Your eyes on us in the middle of the storm. And help us to know that it is the delight to know that You will bring us through the storm, because You promised the disciples that they would go to the other side. They probably didn't feel that way when the waves overtook them, but You told them they'd get to the other side. And thank God we're going to get to the other side one day, either spiritually down here through the victories that we have in Jesus, or we're going to go to the other side and see You one day in glory. But we have that promise. So speak to our hearts today. If there's somebody here lost, I pray that You'll help them to get saved. I pray that You'll take Your word and that You'll work in our hearts and lives today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand and sing, Brother Buddy.
125, Jesus paid it all. 125, as we all stand, please.
Maybe today you just need to come and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, there's some storms and I sure need help. If you do, come on.
I hear the thunder say, thy strength.
His eyes on the sparrow. God cares about a little bird, He'll care about you and me. Sometimes that burden's awful great. The Bible says to look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, nobody but the Lord.
He washed it white.
she's done, I'll have a prayer and we'll pray together and ask the Lord to help. Bible says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And every one of us have burdens and every one of us are in storms. We need to pray one for another that God will help us through the storm. Give us grace in the middle of the storm. Though we don't understand everything about the storm, He's the one that does the understanding. And God, give us grace to understand that. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your love and Your great mercy to us. Sometimes it's hard to see a storm for what it's worth. Sometimes it's hard to understand that You set the tone for the storm. That oftentimes it is the will of God, the perfect will of God, to go through storms. And Lord, but thank You that You keep Your eye on us. It's so important that You keep Your eye on us, that we know that Your eye is on the sparrow, that Your eye is on every one of us as believers, and that You love us and that You care about us, and that's so important. And then what a delight to know that You'll bring us through the storm. And Father, the very things that disturb us and upset us do not overpower You, but You walk on the water. So I pray that You'll help us. Help Your believing people today, Father. I pray that for those that are on their knees or they're praying in their hearts, and Lord, there is a storm in their lives. It's so powerful. I pray You'll deliver them from the storm. I pray that You'll give them peace in the midst of the storm, as that other passage we talked about when Jesus stood in the midst of the boat. He was not intimidated by that storm. He slept through that storm. Then He rose and said, "Peace, be still," and everything calmed because of Jesus. Help us to understand You have the ability to calm a storm. So please help Your people today. Give us strength and encouragement in the Lord. And we thank You for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, we'll ask the young men to come get ready to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. If you are able, give you a few moments. Get you to mark a date on your calendar. I think I have the right date. May the 29th. I think that's right. That'll be the last Sunday of the month. May 29th through June the 1st. We'll be having our spring revival meeting. That'll be Sunday morning through Wednesday night. I've prayed for quite some time for the Lord to lay on my heart who we need to have for revival, and it's just been, just can't get away from what the Lord's impressed on my heart. Some of you remember February of 2010 when we had our Valentine's banquet. Brother Daniel Church preached our banquet that night. And the Lord has just laid on my heart for, I guess, better than 3 months to have Him come in and preach our revival service. Some of you remember Him, and I think some of you on Facebook with Him. And so I've asked Him, and those dates work well for Him, so it'll be Sunday morning through Wednesday. And so you pray that we will have a wonderful revival and that God will speak to our hearts. So I think the 29th is the right day. You can, but whatever the last Sunday is, it's through that Wednesday, 29th through the 1st of June. So keep that in mind, please, and pray toward that end. And we'll try to get some handbills done, okay? All right, Brother Julius, lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank You for the message today, Lord.
Thank
You for the good service. We pray that You'll bless us this afternoon. We'll be back this evening. That You'll bless the offering and giver that we may have nothing, Lord. Lord, we love You and thank You, Father, that You've been for us. Lord, thank You for dying for us and saving us in Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you. have a good afternoon. At 5 o'clock this evening, we'll be back in the book of Galatians, finishing up chapter 2. So we'll look forward to seeing you this evening. Have a good day.